This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, this is Don, and welcome to the tech section of the Wall Street Journal. Today, I'll be reading from the March 22nd edition. The first article I'll be reading is entitled, NVIDIA is now competing mostly with itself in AI fatigue. NVIDIA has a very big crowd to please these days. It managed to pull it off this time. The chipmaker that is now the world's third most valuable company unveiled its latest artificial intelligence systems during the kickoff of its annual developers conference on Monday. The event, known as GTC, had been held virtually since 2020. When NVIDIA was generating about $11 billion in annual revenue, mostly from the sale of graphics processors for video gaming PCs. NVIDIA's business has mushroomed nearly sixfold since then, thanks to booming demand for the company's data center chips used to power generative AI services such as ChatGPT. That rapid ascent has given the company and Chief Executive Officer Jensen Huang rockstar status, with more than 11,000 people filling a Silicon Valley sports arena Monday to catch Huang's keynote address. It included the first official details of the company's Blackwell B100 systems, which will succeed its popular H100 systems that have become the workhorse of generative AI workloads. Even those chips are still catching up with demand. The B100 chips offer a significant performance boost over the H100 family, especially for inferencing, which is when AI models use the data they are trained on to start generating answers. This has been an area where NVIDIA has some perceived vulnerability to competition. But the strong performance specs of the B100 were in line with some early hints from the company, and NVIDIA had already surprised investors last month when it disclosed during its fiscal fourth quarter earnings call that about 40% of its AI revenue was coming from chips used in inferencing work. At a conference earlier this month, Morgan Stanley analyst Joseph Moore described his reaction to that disclosure thusly, "I just about fell out of my chair." That left little room for NVIDIA to spring any big surprises this week. NVIDIA's stock picked up about 1% by Tuesday's close, reversing an earlier decline following an analyst meeting that included no new financial updates. The stock has been caught up in recent sell-off that has taken the entire chip sector down a peg following a major AI-driven run. NVIDIA shares have slipped nearly 4% since reaching a record on March 7th. The PHLX Semiconductor Index has fallen nearly 9% over the same period. Investors needn't worry about NVIDIA's competitive position. Analysts agree that the B100 systems will remain the company's strong lead in AI computing, even with rivals such as Advanced Micro Devices poised to pick up some sales. Tim Arcuri of UBS said NVIDIA's new chips will reassert its undisputed technical lead in performance, while Vivek Arya of BofA Securities said the B100 and other new developments announced at the conference continues to fundamentally widen NVIDIA's competitive moat in a note to clients. The bigger risk for NVIDIA, or at least to the incredible sales momentum it has been enjoying of late, is if the generative AI services being propagated by companies such as Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Meta, and Adobe see tepid demand from consumers and business customers. Adobe's first quarter report last week fell flat with investors as the results and accompanying forecasts showed little uplift from the company's new Firefly service. The Wall Street Journal reported last month that early corporate testers of Microsoft's Copilot are mixed on whether the new AI tools are worth their premium price. Such a trend could ultimately cool the billions that those companies are currently dropping on NVIDIA chips. But even that doesn't seem in the cards this year based on the capital spending forecast in the latest round of earnings reports. It is also out of NVIDIA's hands. What NVIDIA can do is keep its strong technical edge that also allows it to maintain the pricing power that has driven its operating profit margins to record highs. That, in turn, has made its stock valuation cheaper than many of its chip peers that aren't seeing the same sort of AI sales boom. NVIDIA's shares closed Tuesday around 38 times forward earnings, a 26% discount to memory chip maker Micron, which is just emerging from a major sales slump and is expected to report its sixth consecutive quarter of net losses on Wednesday afternoon. With its latest chips likely to drive another strong year ahead, even a $2 trillion NVIDIA isn't such a stretch. The next article that I'll be reading is entitled Apple's Business Model Getting Hit from All Sides Now. Apple didn't need any more trouble, but trouble has had a way of finding the iconic tech giant lately. The Justice Department sued Apple on Thursday, accusing the company of monopolistic behavior over the way it runs its iPhone business. We allege that Apple has employed a strategy that relies on exclusionary, anti-competitive conduct that hurts both consumers and developers, Attorney General Merrick Garland said in announcing the case. The U.S. lawsuit comes as European authorities are cracking down on key aspects of Apple's App Store business and as Apple is losing share in the Chinese market due to growing competition and reports of government disfavor there. Apple is also facing near-term challenges such as another weak iPhone cycle. The company's hardware revenue is projected to slip 1% in the current fiscal year ending in September after falling 6% in the prior year. The buildup has weighed on Apple stock. Its shares fell 4% on Thursday following the announcement of the Justice Department's lawsuit. It is now down nearly 12% since the start of the year. That makes it a notable standout among other trillion-dollar big techs, Microsoft, NVIDIA, Amazon, and the parent companies of Google and Facebook have averaged a whopping gain of 36% for the year to date. Apple's 12-month gain of less than 8% even sharply lags behind the Dow and S&P 500 over that time. When it rains, it pours, wrote J.P. Morgan analyst Samik Chatterjee in a report Friday. The latest lawsuit is hardly a surefire win for the federal government, which has had some notable strikeouts in its continuing attempt to curb big tech's dominance. Apple also emerged largely victorious against antitrust accusations in a lawsuit by Epic Games. A federal judge in that case ruled that Apple didn't qualify as a legal monopoly. Analysts on Friday largely agreed that Apple will likely prevail again in the latest lawsuit. But they also concede it will take a while. Precedence suggests that resolution of the complaint will take 3 to 5 years, including appeals, wrote Tony Sakanagi of Bernstein on Friday. and the growing global opposition to the way Apple has developed and maintained the closed ecosystem around its mobile devices still raises the odds of forced changes to that business. It's a big one. Apple's App Store alone generated $25.8 billion in revenue in 2023, almost twice as much as Google Play Store made in that same time, according to consensus estimates by Visible Alpha. The App Store is a major component of the services segment that accounts for a growing portion of Apple's revenue and smooths out the more volatile cycles of the hardware business. It is also a key factor in Apple's strong bottom line. Services produced a gross margin of 71% in Apple's latest fiscal year, compared with 37% for the hardware segment. Analysts expect service gross margins to improve by a percentage point this year, which will be an important offset to declining hardware revenue, according to FactSet estimates. Services have been a goldmine for Apple, wrote Gene Munster of Deepwater Asset Management on Thursday. The latest case doesn't seek to break up the App Store per se, but it does seek changes such as preventing Apple from using its control of app distribution to undermine cross-platform technologies such as super apps and cloud streaming apps that could meaningfully alter how the business operates. Allowing so-called super apps such as China's WeChat would be a major shift on its own, as those typically act as the entire interface between a smartphone and a user. In a December report, Bernstein's Saganahi noted that super apps could erode Apple's ecosystem and commoditize the smartphone. Apple will therefore continue fighting hard to protect its business practices. The company is helped by the fact that many of its users value the security and simplicity that come with its walled garden approach. But Apple's investors also value clarity, and a new battle with its own government adds to an environment where it is sorely lacking. The next article is entitled Elon Musk Neuralink Shows First Patient Using Its Brain Implant. Elon Musk Neuralink introduced the first patient to receive its brain computer implant, a 29-year-old diving accident victim who showed during a live stream that he can now move a computer cursor using the device. In a 9-minute presentation streamed on Musk's X platform Wednesday, Neuralink showed Noland Arbaugh directing the cursor around a screen to play a game of chess. Arbaugh said it feels like using the force on a cursor, referring to a concept from movies such as Star Wars. He said his surgery went well and he left the hospital after one day. Moving a computer cursor isn't a big technical leap for brain-computer interfaces. An older brain chip first implanted in a human in 2004 also helped a paralyzed person move a cursor with only their thoughts. But the older chip must be attached to a device on the outside of the brain to transmit data, requiring wires protruding through the skin. Neuralink's device transmits data wirelessly, and it can be used at home outside of a laboratory setting. Another notable feature of Neuralink's presentation was that Arbaugh was multitasking, playing chess while speaking about his experience getting the implant. Prior demonstrations of brain-computer interfaces have required dedicated attention to a particular task. Arbaugh lost all movement beneath his shoulders after his accident, he said. A webpage seeking charitable donations said the accident occurred in June 2016. Tom Burks, a pastor at Stone Ridge Church in Yuma, Arizona, said he has known Arbaugh's family for about 2 decades. He said the family had told a few people at the church about the surgery and had asked them to pray for it to go well. "I've been excited for them," Burks said, adding he had been keeping Arbaugh's involvement with Neuralink private before it became public Wednesday. Musk tweeted in January that the first patient received the implant, specifying only that the person was recovering well. Since then, Arbaugh has been learning to use the implant. He described the process of training it to understand how his thoughts translate to moving the cursor. "It has become much easier with time, and he can now simply look at the screen and the cursor responds," he said. "It's not perfect, but we have run into some issues," said Arbaugh, without detailing them. But he added that the device has already changed his life. Arbaugh described playing another video game straight through the night. He said that after 8 hours, the Neuralink's battery ran out and had to be recharged before he continued playing. Neuralink uses wireless charging to power its device, which combines a quarter-sized chip implanted in the skull with hair-like electrodes inserted into the brain. The company has shown how a monkey charged its implant by standing beneath a charging coil. One challenge of charging a battery inside the head is ensuring the temperature doesn't rise significantly. Other companies, including Paradromics and Precision Neuroscience, are developing brain-computer implants that could offer similar functionality to Neuralink. Neither has placed their implant permanently in a human yet. A fourth company, Synchron, has already done so. It has developed a stent that goes into a blood vessel on top of the brain that can read neural signals. That requires a less invasive surgery than Neuralink. Because it is implanted just outside the brain, it may not be able to capture as much neural data. Musk companies shoot for the moon, or in SpaceX's case, Mars. And at Neuralink, Musk has said the aim is one day to augment perfectly healthy people with its brain implant so the humans can keep up with artificial intelligence. Long before that can happen, Neuralink must show that its implant is safe and effective for people like Arbaugh suffering from debilitating conditions. The next article is entitled Amazon's New Focus: Fending Off Rivals Temu and Shine. Amazon is training its attention on emerging e-commerce players Temu and Shine, viewing the newer platforms as significant threats to its online shopping dominance. Temu and Shine have for now supplanted Walmart and Target as focal points in internal Amazon meetings related to retail, people familiar with the matter said. The companies with Chinese roots are expanding in the U.S. and targeting Amazon customers. Temu has gone on an advertising blitz, spending billions of dollars and becoming the top advertiser by revenue on Meta platforms in 2023, the Wall Street Journal reported this month. Amazon executives are concentrating in part on two aspects of their business they believe will continue to give them a competitive edge: customer trust and fast delivery. Employees are working to increase the selection of items available for same-day delivery in categories such as electronics, and the company is exploring promotional campaigns that would emphasize reliability and delivery speeds, the people said. Amazon's logistics are unapproachable, said Josh Lowitz, co-founder of Consumer Intelligence Research Partners, which studies Amazon Prime customer habits. You have to have a whole lot of volume to justify the infrastructure Amazon has, so it's going to take a long time for anyone to compete with Amazon on reliable convenience. An Amazon spokeswoman said the company pays attention to competitors, but staff obsess over customers. She said that Amazon's competitive differentiator is its ability to deliver packages quickly across a range of products, a service that remains a priority for the company. In the U.S., the company can use its massive warehouse network and its millions of Prime subscribers as a barrier to newer rivals, current and future employees said. Overseas, where those factors are less prevalent, it could be more difficult for the company to defend it against competitors. During its three-decade history, Amazon has often moved quickly to counter potential threats from competitors. Those efforts have included price cuts, acquisition offers, and replicating strategies that resonate with consumers. More than a decade ago, as Amazon targeted Quidsi, parent of diapers.com and soap.com, it deployed a strategy to undercut the competitor with heavy discounts of diapers on Amazon. Eventually, Quidsi sold itself to Amazon. Years ago, when Amazon decided to compete with furniture retailer Wayfair, executives created what they called the Wayfair Parity Team, which studied how Wayfair procured, sold, and delivered bulky furniture, eventually replicating a majority of its offerings, the journal previously reported. Amazon declined to comment on the Wayfair team in Quidsi purchase, and it has generally argued that it competes fairly and responds to consumer demand. In 2014, Amazon launched a service named Prime Now that provided quick deliveries of toiletries and other consumable products. Employees who worked on the service and its custom phone app said it was organized in months after the early buzz from Instacart, which had launched 2 years before. Prime Now was eventually folded into Amazon's broader efforts to speed up deliveries for groceries and other products. While Amazon can be aggressive when faced with new threats, executives at times have tried to avoid overreacting in case new competition is more of a fad than a long-term trend, current and former employees said. E-commerce companies such as Wish, a marketplace selling a variety of products, have broken out and gone on hot streaks but then struggled afterwards. Temu and Shine have seen their popularity rapidly grow in America. U.S. monthly active users on Temu grew to 51.4 million in January from its September 22 launch, according to estimates from Sensor Tower. Shine's users increased from 20.9 million to 26 million during the same period. Amazon's fell from 69.6 million to 67 million. Amazon said it hasn't seen a decline in usage, but declined to provide details. Temu's parent company on Wednesday reported that it had more than doubled its quarterly revenue and profit during the fourth quarter. Temu has said it respects other e-commerce competitors, but it doesn't find direct comparisons helpful, and that it is still a relatively small player in the industry. Shine has said what set sets it apart is its focus on working with small and mid-sized manufacturers. Recent Amazon video ads have focused on emotional moments for customers receiving or using products ordered on the platform. Temu's recent ads, including during the Super Bowl, urged users to shop like a billionaire. Amazon executives paid close attention to the Temu campaign, people familiar with the matter said. Customer trust, reliable shipping, and easy returns have long been a staple of Amazon's strategy. Amazon spent much of last year revamping its delivery services to get even closer to customers and deliver products more efficiently. The company said that more than 4 billion items arrived on the same or next day in the U.S. in 2023. Temu and Shein, meanwhile, offer bargain prices in part because they deliver items more slowly. The two companies ship products directly from China, and they don't have much inventory in the U.S. Shein, especially, is recognized for its on-demand manufacturing model, which helps control the amount of waste in packaging and other materials it uses. Temu has opened its marketplace to U.S. and European sellers. Analysts say this could help Temu cut shipping costs and sell higher-priced products. Temu's first target could be Amazon's Chinese sellers with U.S. with inventory in the U.S. Temu and Shein have bet correctly that a segment of customers are willing to wait longer to receive some shipments. Amazon, meanwhile, has remained steadfast that its shoppers value quick deliveries and returns and a variety selection that includes trusted brands. Its most recent quarterly earnings show that it remains the strongest online store in America. Gaining customer trust is a central challenge the new competitors face. In online reviews and forums, some Shein and Temu customers have expressed concerns after not receiving quality products. Returning items to the companies is a more complex process than on Amazon. Amazon has seen its own struggles in recent years. Customer surveys have shown a slip in satisfaction in areas such as product quality. Amazon has said customers overall remain highly satisfied with their experience and points to refund services it offers when products are damaged or defective. Amazon has weighed whether to boost the visibility of its website of items that are priced lower but could take longer to reach customers, the journal previously reported. Temu and Shein have gained significant ground in the U.S., while social media powerhouse TikTok last year also began to target shoppers seeking bargain deals. Shein and TikTok are growing their workforces in Seattle and have sought to poach Amazon's employees, part of their goal to build out logistics and supply chain operations in the U.S. Backed by its Chinese parent company, PDD Holdings, Temu has been on a shopping spree for ad space since its U.S. launch, driving up digital advertising costs by outbidding rivals that range from decades-old bricks-and-mortar shops to specialty e-commerce platforms. Analysts estimate that Temu will rein in ad spending in 2024. Some analysts have been skeptical about the company's strategy. If Temu can't find a way to generate recurring revenue, the substantial subsidies could hurt the parent company's profitability, analysts say. This has been Don bringing you the tech section of the Wall Street Journal for March 22nd. Thanks for listening and have a great day.